The Trump administration's been busy during the pandemic, ramping up efforts to reshape, roll back, or dismantle longstanding environmental regulations on water, air, climate change, including the law considered the foundation of American environmental law, the 50-year-old National Environmental Policy Act. And that's just the tip of this rapidly melting iceberg. According to reporters like Kendra Pierre Lewis, senior reporter for Gimlet Media's How to Save a Planet podcast and author of Greenwashed, Why We Can't Buy Our Way to a Green Planet. She joins us from New York to talk about just a few of the more than 100 Trump administration environmental rule rollbacks. Kendra, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
So we're going to probably get to maybe four or five of the most recent regulations that are being dismantled out of nearly 100. Just your sense of what you've been watching over the past 5 months.
So the Trump administration has been undergoing a really big push to sort of push through their deregulatory agenda before the election. And one thing I really want to make clear to your listeners is the position where we are right now, which is it's been an unusually hot summer. We've had 8 hurricanes, and there's a really strong chance that we're about to have our 9th named storm. So I just kind of want to put this in a broader context of what these regulations mean in terms of where our planet is. These rules have real life repercussions.
Well, we've been hearing people involved in the climate change movement feeling like they're watching helplessly from the sidelines of a pandemic, saying, hey, we're next, you know, we're going to be coming on stage soon, and things are only getting worse when it comes to climate change. But people have been more focused, of course, on the pandemic, and, you know, many people say they're connected. So let's talk about the biggest change, the National Environmental Policy Act. This is what created the review process, you know, before you could build infrastructure, you know, highways, energy plants. You had to have a review of its impact on the environment. What does the rollback, the change, do?
Yeah, so the rollback does a few things. First, it narrows the scope of the number of projects that are considered that have to go through this environmental review process. And one thing to be really clear about is the vast majority of federal projects don't actually have to go through this kind of intense environmental review. It's something like 1% actually do. And that environmental review process simply makes you consider the alternatives so that you realize maybe we don't have to build this highway through a protected habitat. We can build this highway sort of around the protected habitat. The new rule says that even fewer of those projects have to go through that process. The other thing that it does is that even when a project has to go through that process, you don't have to consider climate as one of the potential environmental impact, which many people are interpreting as a giveaway to pipelines, because pipelines have a really large climate effect on top of their broader environmental footprint.
Yeah. And not only would fewer projects have to consider climate in a review process, they don't have as much time to consider it. The environmental impact studies would have to be 1 to 2 years, which, you know, many people doing these projects say that's not possible. The president says, you know, any longer is too much red tape. Democrats are saying they're going to fight this, but it feels like it's a fait accompli.
I mean, it's technically a finalized rule. So the thing that's happened, I think, that a lot of people don't fully understand kind of over the past 50, 60 years, is that basically once we started cleaning our air and water, we realized that clean air and water were actually good things. And so there are lots of broader requirements. And one place where you sort of see this playing out is under the Trump administration's rollback of like the Clean Power Plan, which was designed to reduce emissions from coal-powered plants and utilities. That original rule that the Obama administration created actually came out of a lawsuit, which said that the EPA had to regulate carbon emissions, right? So now the Trump administration's plan, it doesn't go as far as the Obama administration plan. And there was some question as to whether or not the Obama administration's plan went far enough. So some of these rules that are getting rolled back, there is strong legal challenges that might undo them down the line.
And also, there might be something else I'm wondering that might undo this down the line, which is the election. I mean, can
right.
these changes being made by the Trump administration be changed again by another administration?
Yes. So, yes, it's a short answer. You know, a lot of these have gone through the proper process, which is different because in the beginning of the Trump administration, the administration was sort of creating legislation by fiat, and they didn't go through this kind of introduce a proposed regulation, open it up to public comment, review the regulation and then pass the final regulation process. They weren't doing that at first at all in the beginning. And so they were getting sued a lot and being forced to undo things just because they didn't follow the process, which is regulated. And now they follow the process. So you can undo these by following the regulatory process. But again, it depends on what the composition of Congress is. And we're running out of time. Even if there was a change in administration that wanted more environmental regulations, every day that we don't reduce carbon emissions is a problem. Every additional unit of carbon that's emitted into the atmosphere is a problem. And so, yes, we can undo these rules, but I also caution the fact that we're running out of time. And a new study came out pretty recently that we may have less time than we even thought, that the best case scenario we've been aspiring towards might not be feasible.
Well, okay, let's plow on through these other changes that have happened. The General Accounting Office recently released a report that lowballs the cost of damages done by greenhouse gas emissions. We know every ton of CO2 released has an economic impact, things like, you know, damaged infrastructure, sea level rise, weather events. And the new accounting is 7 times lower than under the Obama administration's accounting, which set the social cost of carbon at about $82 a ton. The Trump administration says it's about $11. So completely lowballing the cost and charging less for the cost.
Yeah. So basically everyone who does this for a living agrees that the Trump administration's costs are too low. I mean, it's a question mark of how do you price carbon, but we know we've had some of the most expensive disaster years on record, and they're completely tied to climate change. So Hurricane Harvey, for example, 40% of that rainfall that was disastrous in Houston and sort of that broader region is because of climate change. And so it's really difficult to have billion-dollar disaster year after billion-dollar disaster year and not acknowledge that there's a real human and economic cost associated with that.
Fuel economy standards. There was a rollback in early April of the Obama-era standards. The Trump administration says it will make cars cheaper, which is better for the economy. But analysts say cheaper cars using more gas is actually more expensive over the lifetime of a car. Putting that aside, what does this mean for carbon dioxide emissions?
Yeah, nothing good. So the Obama administration wanted to get the fleet-wide average to 54.5 miles per gallon by 2025. And the Trump administration has dropped that to about 40 miles per gallon. You're right that the administration says that it will be cheaper. They also are arguing that because cars will be cheaper, people with old cars will buy newer cars that have higher safety standards, and that will save lives. But the thing that they're not factoring into that assessment is the number of lives that climate change will claim. And we know that it'll release about a billion more tons of carbon dioxide, this changing of the rules, as well as burn 80 billion more gallons of gas. So it's not great from a carbon perspective. And as I want to reiterate, climate change has a cost. We're in the middle of a heat wave right now in a lot of the country. Like, this has just been a very hot summer, and we know that's climate change.
We also had an EPA proposal in June to overhaul clean air rules. You mentioned clean air, based on an accounting technique, changing the cost-benefit analysis. From now on, only weighing the economic impact of a proposed rule, not the, you know, harder to find costs to public health. This is an EPA head by an industry, a former industry guy, Andrew Wheeler. You know, we're just touching on just a few of the changes that have been made.
I think it's also just worth pointing out that as a condition of the pandemic, that the Trump administration sort of decided not to continue enforcing. Basically, if you're a polluter, if you're an electric facility or something, and you emit a certain amount of pollution and you emit over your tolerable level, you have to report. And the Trump administration said because of the pandemic that these facilities no longer had to report when they had excess pollution events, right? So we're talking about facilities that emit air pollution in the middle of a pandemic that we know causes respiratory distress, and we know that pollution makes respiratory illnesses worse. In fact, there's research that suggests that people who've had higher levels of exposure to pollution over the course of their life are more likely to die of the coronavirus. There's this mismatch in terms of what we're valuing, right? And that's only exacerbated by these kinds of regulatory changes. It's essentially prioritizing the interests of corporations over the interests of the people who live in this country.
At one of the toughest times in this country. Kendra Pierre-Lewis, author, climate reporter for the Gimlet Podcast Company. Kendra, we've just touched on the surface of this, but thank you so much for helping us do that.
Thank you so much for having me, Robin.